Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to a live interview tonight on Prophecy Keepers Radio. When the host says the coast is clear, please call in. This is Yasa Sagonige, a 7th grade grandson of Samanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. Folks, the scriptures say my people perish for lack of knowledge. We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Before he passed away in 1985, Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all 145 past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keeper's does need money to continue to operate. We had a very close call at the end of last month. We almost didn't raise the funds that we needed to stay here on Blog Talk Radio. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look. OCO, Ginalii, this is Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the Cherokee Nation.
And how cola, peel on me off for everybody showing up. We've got some special guests tonight, and we're going to be talking with Mato Gleska, Joanne Spotted Bear, and her friends. And we've got Mark the Badger with us tonight. And, you know, I don't even have my I do have it. There he is. Okay, all righty. And we gotta get the bear medicine going here too. Oh yeah, there we go. Okay. Enough of that nonsense. Okay. Anyway, thanks for joining us tonight. And what do you like to be called? You know, do you like to be called Joanne, or what do you like people to call you?
Joanne Spotted Bear.
Okay. So you know, I go by Blue Otter. People call me Otter for short. But how about Spotted Bear for tonight? Is that okay?
Spotted Bear is great. I think that's the name.
Very good. And so yeah, you've been you're a very busy person, and you try to do a lot for your people, and we wanted to give you an opportunity for you to let everybody know, you know, what's going on and your travels. And you've got a bunch of friends in here with you. And Joanne, have you let's see. Looks like we have one of your friends' call got dropped. Let's see if we can get them back on the line. They're calling. Hang on just a second. They just said that their call dropped. Hang on just one moment. Have you ever had Mark do your Mayan birth sign reading?
No.
Okay. Well, if you're willing to disclose your birth date, or if you don't want to do that publicly, I can put you in a room. But if you're willing to disclose your full birth date and whether you're born before or after sunset, I guess it is, Mark can do that for you. That'd be all right? It'll give you a good insight.
You can put her in the side room there, Blue Otter, if you
okay.
want to give a date that way. That way it won't go public.
Okay. Do you want
Somebody
to do that?
Blog Talk Radio, you're calling the wrong number. You're coming on my second line.
Oh, okay. Do you want me to call you back on a different line?
Oh, no. Just hold on. Let me just switch over, and then I can switch back, right?
Okay.
Okay.
Now, if something happens and I lose you, just give me a shout on Facebook where to call you.
No, you could just call this number, the one you dialed.
Okay.
Okay.
I got it. Go ahead and change over.
Okay.
Anyway, we're also trying to get... Okay, I've got you. You're back. Okay.
Okay,
now,
we'll just do it outright.
There's nothing I can do. All I can do is drop you and call you back at the same number. Now, you got a friend that called in from 775. Sorry, we got about four or five, six people we're trying to direct traffic for, and we'll get settled down. The caller from area code 775, are you still there?
That might have been me, 622.
Yeah, okay. It said that call was dropped. Okay, good deal. All right, so I guess we're ready to go. So, do you mind telling Mark your full birthday? Joanne, Spotted Bear? Can you hear me? Bear? Oh, geez, have we lost her? Hang on a second. I guess we've lost her. Oh, okay. Okay, Spotted Bear, do we have you back? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, do you mind telling Mark your full birthday?
September 20th, 1970.
Okay, September 20th, 1970. And let's see, now we've got somebody else there. We've got quite a bit of noise. It sounds like somebody doing dishes in the background. Do you think you could either move to another room or someplace away from where that noise is? And we'll get started.
Gina, they can hear your dishes banging.
kind of reminds you of, years ago, the guy that developed the recording industry, Les Paul and Mary Ford. Les Paul invented the electric guitar, invented the tape recorder, and a lot of times he'd be tinkering around down in the basement. Like, there was a song called How High the Moon, and at the very end of the song, you can hear her dishes rattle because he'd intercom up to her and say, hey, you know, take one or take two, and then she'd be doing dishes, and she'd just pull the microphone down and sing into it. And anyway, so if you're near the dishes, if you're on a cordless phone, maybe you could just move into another room so you don't have to inconvenience your sweetheart there. So, Mark, have you been able to figure out her reading yet?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay, well.
So, I'm going to go by her Mayan one relatively quickly in that book, and I'm going to go to the Six Thumbs book a little bit faster because in her case, I think it's more relevant. So, for just a quick thing, just so she knows, in the traditional Mayan Zolkin, her birthday was on Tumanik, and that's that would connect her a little bit to deer energy, so she might have some deer as well as some energy in the background there somewhere. And that would connect her also to the direction of the west.
Oh.
And she probably is familiar with the direction of west and the significance of that direction in accordance with the story of the White Buffalo Calf Woman.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the two main things. Now I'm going to go straight to the Sixth Sun Zolkin and what it says a little bit about her birth. Because I think it shows up a little bit more about her in my experience. It gives it. We'll go through actually three type readings. One is the forward flow of time, which is the way we normally look at time. And then there will be a backward flow, which is the sixth sun coming back into our present era. And then where the two come together. So on her forward flow of time, she has things about purpose, discipline, balancing things, and a lot that has to do with correct action, you know, doing things the right way. So I would not be surprised if she's been involved with things like that. It's a lot
of those. She's basically hell bent for elections, you know. explaining her why her she's driven.
Yeah, it's the key on it is the aspects of power and balance and correct actions is balancing in her life or a background energy going or singing in chorus with purpose and discipline. So it is kind of those things working together. Now it is in a cycle that's a cycle that has to do with the power of dreams and intuitions, visions, and things like that. So she may have had visions that relate to these particular types of energies and maybe helping to guide her in her purpose. So on the backward flow of time coming from the next world cycle, we see energies that had to do with the serpent. It has to do with survival, instinct, sacred power, life force, action, things that have to do with purification. And it's in a cycle of spirit. So those type of things may have been being shown up more in recent years, more powerfully in her life. Again, a lot of things to do with action and sacred power and survival of things. Now, where these two come together, they come together, and this is kind of like the bridge or the doorway between worlds, world cycles. And hers is a day called One Piece, and I think its name pretty much sums it all up. I think it, the Lakota have a word for it of we are all related, so it would connect to that type of thing. One key thing in here is it has aspects of peace, hope, also soul, joy, and forgiveness, and childlikeness. So those are things that might help her move what she's doing in her actions and stuff from one world to the next and achieve, you know, what she's trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. And now you're born in 1970, you say, right?
Yep.
Okay, so you've just passed your 43rd birthday then, okay? And that you know, that 42nd year in the Black Robes, they call it the Age of Wisdom. So you've passed that milestone in your life and you're out there doing some heavy duty work for your people. And sorry to interrupt, Mark. Go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, we're just. What does that sound make some sense to you, Spotted Bear?
Yeah, I think you guys have been on my Facebook and. But I wanted to. What I'd like to do as we get started here is we have Steve Morningchild and David Buse, and if there's a 605 number with a 605,
uh-huh,
34,
they're here. Mm-hmm.
That's Charmaine Whiteface, and this is going to come all together. It's going to be a unique way of doing something different, but here we go. Before we get started, and thank you for telling my past, my present, and my future, because of what we do, always deserves a prayer from the Creator first. So I'm going to ask Steve Morningchild if he can lead us in that prayer.
Come on, there.
Yes, you are. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to have to use my own language. Agi tuugisugu kintutamat nanuskati pishak stohtamaun kahkeohtu manua humagana gummi vat kapi tsweahut igagi wei maigi wei kapi taun goya kan stohtama kahkeogi wei umaga wei tiputama umagi wei tuing up naituan magagi tuugisugu great spirit, I ask you to be humble towards us. As we're talking here, we want everything to go smoothly. We don't want any evil stuff to hit us, even though that it's all just about all over the air right now. Have pity on us, and we want understanding amongst each other.
Steve, you want to introduce yourself and tell them where you're from, please?
Yep. My name is Omegonil Awasis, which means winged child in English. I'm speaking from a province here, the fictional province of Saskatchewan, in the fictional country of Canada. And I consider myself an American Indian. I'm not Native American, because it was Noah who created natives, and the things I'll be talking about are some of the teachings I get from my teacher, what is I call my teacher, Meredith Quinn. His Lakota name is Musa, who was born in Wahpeton, Sisseton, South Dakota or North Dakota, whereabouts that would be. And I'm a Nihil, Cree Indian, and I reside in an area that was ceded over by our great-grandfathers in 1876, I think the treaties were made, which was the Treaty 6 territory. 121,000 square miles of it was ceded over by our grandfathers. And now today, the Prime Minister Harper, Steve Harper, is saying that treaties are no longer valid. And they were supposed to last as long as the sunshine, the waters flow, and the grass grows. And our treaties were, during the negotiations, the pipe was used by our elders. And according to Meredith Quinn's teachings, the foundations for international law are overseas, it would be Palliative of Troy Treaty, and the Selah Solomon Treaty, and the Noah's Ark Treaty. And here at North and South America, it would be the Wampum Belt Treaties, the Canes of Authority Treaties, and the Peace Pipe Treaties, to where I am at right now.
Uh-huh.
And our language is Nihiyawi, which would be Cree. And we still have our tribal custom and usage. We still do our ceremonies. We have 6-7 different ceremonies that we do here. And I happen to do one of them that's similar to the one Bigfoot and his followers were killed for in
Wounded Knee.
Yeah, I think I don't remember how many people were killed over there.
300.
And according to a friend of mine, I got a pipe here that was supposedly came from Wounded Knee, from Bigfoot and his followers, and it's got cracks on it because I wouldn't doubt it. It came from there because the soldiers were told to destroy every religious artifact that the Indians had. So they must have stepped on a pipe here, but we still use it. I got it 3 years ago, and it finished the ghost dance that Bigfoot and his followers were going to do, or I don't know whether it was after they finished or they were going to do the ghost dance. That's when they were killed. So if the pipe didn't finish that ghost dance, it came up here and finished three of my lodges now. So I, you know, I'm not claiming it is the right pipe, but somebody told me that the pipe came from over there, so I wouldn't be surprised because, you know, that's how many years ago that happened, you know. And if it's true, if that's their pipe, then why did it made its way up to me? Because I've done the ceremony for maybe 20-25 times now. I don't keep track of it since I was born.
Now,
my lodge.
Excuse me for interrupting, but what was your name again?
Yep. Hi.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What was your name again?
My name, Omeguanil Awasis, means winged child.
Okay. And let me ask you, do you happen to be with the Joseph Big Head Band?
It's north of me, about 50 miles north.
Okay.
I've got a
close friend who spent quite a bit of time on their reserve a few years ago, and are pretty close friends with the people on that reserve. And his name is Red Elk.
What would be their name?
His name is Red Elk.
Red Elk.
Red Elk.
Okay.
And I know but you know, when you mentioned Treaty 6, I went, wow, I was just wondering if you're with Joseph Big Hand Band but
what would be his white man's name?
He just goes by Red Elk. He lives in Washington, and five or six years ago, as a guest of Joseph Big Head Band, I can't remember the name of their spiritual leader. He toured a lot of the other spiritual sites. Go ahead, Spotted Bear.
We have two more people that I'd like to introduce because talk about the same subject.
Go ahead.
Can you bring these other two people in too?
You go ahead.
Okay,
go ahead.
The next one I'd like to introduce is a good friend of mine and also a hunka brother from Ohio. His name is David Lee Buse, and he's a private attorney general who's helping in the law situation that's going to be happening with the American government and Indian nations. Dave, if you want to introduce yourself, please.
Well, you did a pretty good job of it, Joanne. I am an actually retired factory worker. I worked for Ball Corporation for 25 years, the last big corporation I worked for. Once I got into the latter part of my employment with that company, I began to study government corruption. And as a result of that, I became a private attorney general and have been aiding Native Americans and other Americans with court documents and research, whatever it takes, and helping prepare and file cases in the court. And that's basically what I'm doing now as a retired individual.
The next person is Charmaine Whiteface. She's my auntie from Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, land of the Tetuan Lakota Nation. The Treaty of Fort Laramie, 1831, Treaty of 1851, Treaty of 1868, descendant of the Little Bighorn and the Wounded Knee Massacre. I believe her family also fought in the World Wars. Charmaine?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes,
Hello?
We can. Go ahead.
Thank you for having me on your show. Chante washtena fe chuzapye, zumila wabaga emachiapye. I said in our Tetuan language, which is the Lakota language, we are Tetuan people. We speak the Lakota language. I happen to be an elder, and I keep trying to remind our people, everybody, who we are. We are Tetuan. We speak the Lakota language. So I said in our language, I said, I greet each and every one of you with a handshake from my heart. And I also said, my name is Zumila Bobaga, which means a little wise one who makes a mark. I am the spokesperson for the Sioux Nation Treaty Council, which was created in 1894. And we have continuously, since 1894, have been trying to get the United States to uphold their Constitution and their federal laws. In Article 6 of the Constitution, it says that treaties are the supreme law of the land. The Fort Laramie Treaty of 1868 was upheld in April of 2009, just that recently, yet the United States still continues to occupy our territory. Our treaty territory is made up of all of western South Dakota, parts of North Dakota, Montana, Wyoming, and Nebraska. I have worked with the Sioux Nation Treaty Council for a number of years and took over as a spokesperson after the passing of the previous spokesperson, Tony Blackfeather. We, our job has been to seek the enforcement of our treaty, and including the return of our treaty territories, to get the occupiers and oppressors out of our treaty territory. And I've attended many meetings at the United Nations, both in New York and in Geneva, Switzerland, to that end. Most recently, at the UN General Assembly, just this last October 28th, Professor Alfred de Zayas, independent expert for the General Assembly, recommended that we be allowed access to the Decolonization Committee, the United Nations Decolonization Committee. Now, that committee then will help us to gain our freedom, our independence, and provide a process where the oppressors will have to leave our territory. And I'm sorry for all of the American citizens who are illegally in our territory, but that's not our fault. That's the fault of the federal government. The U.S. government has lied to the American people for all these years, and in that process in 1889 created the states of Montana, Wyoming, North and South Dakota, and Nebraska, when all of these are in direct violation of the U.S. Constitution, Article 6, the March 3rd Act of 1871, and, as of course, the Fort Laramie Treaty of 1868. That treaty can only be changed by 3/4 of our adult males changing it. It has never happened. Never, never. Our people have never, ever changed that treaty. Even though parts of it, I've been told by our elders, were changed, you know, but they still uphold it. They still, and the international community needs to recognize this. American people need to recognize this. As recently as April 2009, an American federal court upheld the Fort Laramie Treaty of 1868. A lot of the problems that we experience, we would not be experiencing if the occupiers would leave us to govern our own selves, if the occupiers, which would let us have true self-determination. The Fort Laramie Treaty of 1868 was a peace treaty, treaty for peace, P-E-A-C-E, a peace treaty. Yet, we are occupied, we are oppressed, we live under tyranny. William Allen White was a publisher, and he said, peace without justice is tyranny. And that's what we all live under in North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, Wyoming, and Nebraska. Our people live under tyranny, tyranny by the United States government, because they refuse to uphold their own constitution, their own federal law, the March 3rd Act of 1871, and the Fort Laramie Treaty of 1868.
Hold on, Charmaine?
Yes.
Before you go any further, let me introduce myself so we can all get on the same level, and we could all share equal, and that way all of us can have equal time, I guess I'm trying to say. But
oh, sure.
I wanted to introduce myself and let the people know, as we're on this radio show, I'm also recording for the people of the world to see, and I'll also set it on the ambassadors of the world, so they can view it, and the president of the United Nations, so they could hear what we're saying, because I did invite the ambassadors to listen to this radio show, and I did put it on 101.3 Renegade Radio, where they have 116 million listeners worldwide, and on Facebook I have 100,000 viewers, so this is very, very important for each and every one of us to share equal and to discuss these treaties, and for the United States government to know that we are not afraid of what they have to say, no more. So I want to introduce myself in a good way with everybody's permission.
Oh, and let me add, we can edit out some of that stuff at the beginning of the show, and I can send you an edited copy. But go ahead.
Okay. Tokaya Tunkashila Wopla Waku. lebiya cha matoya hebiye. Chunkbe opio matua. My dear relatives, before anything is said, I want to thank the Creator first. My name is Bear Woman. I am a descendant of 1890 Wounded Knee Massacre. And the Little Bighorn, where the Lakotas, they did kill Custer. I'm also a descendant of World War I, World War II, 1973, during the AIM days. My father was a cop, and he put his gun down and walked off of his job. And today I'm a law advocate for Reno Sparks Indian Colony, Fallon Pike Shoshone Tribe. I am assistant judge to Rudy L. James, and I am a Tetuan Treaty representative as well as Charmaine Whiteface. Thank you very much. Go ahead, Chitelo. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead. We're going to be talking about treaties here and laws. And Dave, to kind of get this started in the right way, I wanted to ask you if you would please tell us who America is named after and the 1933 Bankruptcy Act, and then Charmaine can fill in with the treaties, and Steve could come in with Canada and talk about Canada, and each of us have maybe 15, 20 minutes each, if that's good.
Okay, I believe the America was named after America Vespucci. Anyway, let's find out, first of all, what is America, or who is America, or who is America disguised as. If you go into the Bankruptcy Act of 1933, you will find that all offices, agencies, and departments were turned over to the receivers of the bankruptcy via the United Nations 12 years before they became an organization. And if you look at 28 United States Code, at 3002, definitions 15, the United States means a federal corporation. And that dates back to the year 1779. And there's a court case which proves it. And I don't have it with me right now. I'm actually doing this phone conversation from my living room, relaxing. So I'm not in my office. But anyway, what people need to understand that in the Bankruptcy Act of 1933, all law and statute were turned over and became international law and copywritten. So they're all foreign to us. The next thing you need to understand about the Bankruptcy Act of 1933 is that Congress, in collusion with the President, committed treason against our country in the fact that disobeyed their oath of office, legislation, and executive orders to steal the Treasury of the United States and declare war on the American people. So what has happened is that in the Administrative Procedures Act, all judicial Title III courts were dissolved. And so what they're running on you in court these days is a color of law fraud scheme. If you walk into court, you will find that probably most of them are flying a gold-fringed American flag, which falls under Executive Order 10834 by Dwight David Eisenhower, and it represents a martial law, which falls under military regulations. So the judge of a common pleas court or a municipal court or a United States district court who flies a gold fringe flag within his courtroom, the American standard American flag with a gold fringe flag with a gold fringe on it, represents the fourth color of the flag, mutilates the flag, and carries a one-year prison term for anyone who misuses it, which would be 99% of your courts in America today. So they ignore the fact that they're under martial law. They're claiming to be under martial law, under color of law. What they do not tell you when you enter their court system is what law they're actually practicing. So are they practicing martial law? That would be military regulations. Are they practicing constitutional law? Well, no, they actually did away with the Constitution when Roosevelt, in Executive Order 6102, suspended the Constitution and then made all law and statute international law, except for the Constitution. Now, why would you turn all law and statutes over to international law and not the Constitution? The answer is very simple. This was the forming of what is known as the New World Order or the One World Government that they have been trying to force on people ever since. So now we have a major, major fraud scheme against the American people. So then in 1946, I believe it was, they began to register men and women as a commodity through birth certificate fraud scheme. And what they do is you go to your wife, the wife goes to the delivery room, delivers the child to the doctor, who then makes up a birth certificate, live birth certificate. The live birth certificate is then sent down to the Bureau of Vital Statistics at your state level, and they create, I think it's four birth certificates. One is sent to the county coroner. One is sent to the health department in the county you live in. One is sent to the Department of Commerce, and the state keeps the other one. So once the Commerce Department gets your birth certificate, they send it over to the Census Bureau, who creates a $1 million bond on the birth certificate. And this is where the fraud comes in, people. It is one thing to create you and register your birth. It is quite another to take your name and make a commodity of it and put a bond on it. So every American who has a, well, it's not just Americans, but it's whoever has a birth certificate, you probably have a $1 million bond on that birth certificate. That is sold on the commodities exchange. And the Federal Reserve buys every one of them. And they are kept in the tower, a building called the Tower of Power on River Street in New York City. And what they do is they use that $1 million bond as the commodity and backing of the Federal Reserve note. Because if you know anything about money, a note is a debt instrument. So the fraudulent employees of ours set us up to be a commodity to buy and sell as slaves to the Federal Reserve System to back their counterfeit money, the Federal Reserve note. How do you pay debt with debt? You can't. So because 1933 they took away our money, they had to give us a way to pay our bills. So the Cestecu Trust, and that's the CESTA, QUE, Carnegie Trust was developed so that the people could pay their bills, not discharge them, because a note discharges the debt. But the Siskiyou Trust actually paid the debt. So if you want to study that, you can go into the Federal Reserve Act, National Banking Act, and all that stuff and dig it out for yourself. And you can also go into the Congressional Record, which is where I spend a lot of time. And you can do this all online. But I'm getting a little hoarse. I'm going to take a break here. I'm going to let, if anybody has any questions up to this point.
How do you spell that Siskiyou again?
Okay, it's Sesta, C-E-S-T-A, Q-U-E, Trust, T-R-U-S-T.
Gotcha. Okay.
But that's the fact that the United States became a corporation other than a government. Understand this, every time you go to the polls and vote, you're actually committing fraud because you're not voting for the President of the United States or members of Congress. You're voting for the President and CEO of the United States of America Corporation, but they don't tell you that.
Go ahead.
Steve, you're... I pulled my, me and my wife pulled our birth certificates from Vital Statistics in Regina. I pulled mine out first 3 years ago, and my wife pulled hers out about a couple of years ago, and it was printed on bond paper. And I have it here. We have our long form. I'm talking about the long form plus the middle size ones. I don't know what they call it, but we have our birth certificates here, and we're sitting here with them, and we're pulling welfare, and we're hardly, you know, just barely scratching around to stay alive.
See, the fraud scheme of all this is my birth certificate, by the way, that I have from the state of Ohio, has a gold seal on the back of it with the state seal on it.
But ours is on bond paper.
Yeah, mine is too.
Like that old money they used to print money out of that paper here in Canada. I don't know about the States, but that's what it's printed on.
Yeah, mine's on bond paper too. I actually have three birth certificates. One is in the all caps name. Oh, and by the way, let's discuss the caps name.
All caps name.
A minute, okay? The all caps name is what they put on the birth certificate. And the all caps name represents one of three things: straw man, trade name, or corporation. So they make you a corporation by your birth certificate. Okay? And if you study the Internal Revenue Code, in 1895, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled income taxes unconstitutional. And then in 1911, the court ruled that corporations could be taxed. So they could be treated as, they could sue and be sued as an individual, but they did not have constitution. So what you have set up here back that far is the Supreme Court. And there's 60 rulings, by the way, of the Supreme Court, which favors the American people, private citizen, over the Internal Revenue Service and government. Okay? I know I'm going all over the place here, so I hope you can stay with me. But when you hit at one point, it goes to another, to another, to another. But the court made several rulings in our favor as private individuals. Number one, income taxes are unconstitutional because they were never part of the original Constitution. Secondly, wage for labor is an exchange. No income is generated. Another ruling came about was that Congress, by legislation, cannot define income, since it cannot, by legislation, alter the Constitution from which it derives its power to legislate. So Mr. Roosevelt, back in 1933, when he suspended the Constitution, he terminated legislative, executive, and judicial branches of government. He fired himself, and he set himself up, as well as Congress, as a de facto government. Roosevelt became the dictator of the United States of America, and every president since has signed a little paper upon taking office that he is the chief executive officer of the corporation. So now if you understand why they're fighting treaty and everything else, because no one made a treaty with the corporation. Mr. Obama does not have the proper evidence that he is even a U.S. citizen.
I have a question for Charmaine.
Hold on, Joanne.
Charmaine, are you there?
Hold on, Joanne.
I'm still here, but I have to go pretty soon.
Okay, hold on, Dave. Let me bring Charmaine in just kind of real quick here before she leaves. Is Charmaine, what is your input in the studies that Dave is saying?
This is the first time hearing of this. So it's interesting.
Do you think, seriously, that they would want this this information getting out?
No.
There you have it. And people don't know where to go to look into all the shenanigans they pulled on us, the acts of war they pulled on us in the 1933 Bankruptcy Act. So what you have to do as an individual is go back into 1933 and a few years prior to that and begin to look at the congressional record, the legislative acts that were written and signed, okay? Then you begin to feel this whole fraud scheme out that they're playing against us. The United States of America have been duped. And they are paid, our newspapers, are paid big money not to print these stories when they go out. When we take a case into court, okay, they are paid to dismiss the case so that this information cannot get into a public document. And if you make a motion during court to enter evidence that has any of this to do with it, they will deny you the right to do that. And that's because the Fasuto corporate courts, and that's what we have, their jurisdiction is only contract disputes because of their false flags and all the other stuff that they're doing. They're called Fasuto corporate courts. Each one of them are registered on Dun & Bradstreet and traded. And the judges are traded on Dun & Bradstreet. And they're running a CUSIP, bond, and commodities fraud scheme against you the minute you walk into court.
Just a second, I'm going to intervene again. Charmaine, do you remember the Resolution 80-40, Sioux Nation Treaty Council? Hello?
I think she may have left us.
Okay, there's a Resolution 80-40 that the Oglala Sioux tribe has no say within treaty, And that means that the corporations have no say within the treaties as well. That's exactly what Dave was talking about, and that's what I wanted Charmaine to elaborate on. Unfortunately, she's not with us, but go ahead. Maybe Morning Child can have a, if he knows something, that'd be good too. Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here. I just was wondering.
Yeah, the area code 306 and 605 had to leave us.
Okay.
Do you want me to try? You want me to try to get one of them back?
Yes, if you don't mind.
Which one?
Because what Dave is talking about is very serious.
Okay,
and
which one?
Get the 605 back, please.
Now,
okay.
We're talking treason against the American people is what our federal government's doing to us, and our states are co-conspirators in this, by the way, too, because when the United States became a corporation, all the states, the upper lowercase state of Ohio, Nevada, wherever you're from, became the all capital corporation name. The state of Ohio, the state of Indiana, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, they're all corporations. Support the United States DBA Corporation.
Trying to get them back, sorry. We'll try a couple more cycles here.
Is there anything that I asked right now that anybody has
Hello.
Any...
We are not available now. Please leave your name and phone number after
Sorry.
The beep. We will
Okay, I guess they're gone. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, I had one question for you, and that is, you alluded to the fact that these treaties have not been made with the corporation. So the question would become then, is it possible for some way to get enough information and get this out, bypass all their other public, you know, control screenings of the media and such, and use the treaties not only to help the Native Americans, but help everybody.
Right now, I have three court cases suing the United States of America DBA Corporation in U.S. District Court in Toledo, Ohio, right now. One of them is the request to the court is to ask Eric Holder to go to bankruptcy court and declare this corporation bankrupt and that it be dissolved after all its bills are paid, and they do not use the American people to pay this because they never had our consent in the first place to borrow money against our good names, faith, and credit.
And I'm talking to the United Nations asking to get rid of the United States federal government due to the neglect of the treaties that are in place. I'm not asking them or begging them. I'm telling them that this was done illegally because a lot of Indian people, our ancestors didn't know how to talk English, so we always had an interpreter. And an interpreter was half Indian and half, might have been half Lakota or one of the other tribes. But that half-breed spoke only what he wanted, not what the people wanted on either side. And he got what he wanted. And
the legal
name
for it is called fraud by trickery.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's also a violation of Euberema Fide, ultimate truth in contract law, where they fail to disclose all the pertinent facts of a contract. And a treaty is a contract. It is entered in between two parties. So therefore, it is a contract. The American Native American could sue the pants off of this corporation for breach of treaty.
So instead of sue the hell out of them, we just close it down altogether. And that's what I wanted Charmaine and Steve Morningchild to stay on the phone for.
Well, we want to sue them. But we don't want to dissolve the corporation until they pay us what they owe us.
They'll never do that. They're broke. Remember, they're living off of us. We're not
right.
living off of
them. Supposedly they're broke, Joanne. But where is the audit? You have to remember, the United States of America, DBA Corporation, has gone bankrupt 4 times. And Congress has written a legislative act instead of filing into bankruptcy court. Okay? So my question to Mr. Holder, which he has never answered, is, okay, in all of these bankruptcy acts, how much money has ever been forgiven the United States? He refuses to answer. Now, every lawfully established government agency has to have, from the Office of Management and Budget, an OMB number. Okay? None of the pseudo corporate courts that I have filed into, and I put it right on my paperwork, the name of the pseudo corporation, OMB number. In all the paperwork that I have filed, I have not yet, from all the way from the Supreme Court of the United States to the U.S. District Courts to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeal in Cincinnati, not one of these courts have ever given me their OMB number. Do you think that's strange? I do. Because if they had an OMB number, then they could receive federal funding. And so I asked Mr. Holder, okay, I know of one court in New York City that brings in $1 million a day. I want a full audit of that court to where the money goes, because a court never gives you a true bill and invoice. They say, oh, it's court costs. Here, this is what you owe. I'm sorry, but don't they have to give you a true bill and invoice, just like any other corporation? Things to think about, people. Go ahead, Joanne.
It's just all of this is very important as the United Nations talking to them. The Great Lakota Nation has a lawsuit going against the United States government for the things Dave is talking about. And every person, starting with the CUSTA Q Trust for the indigenous land, it went from the CUSTA Q Trust to the IBM account. And then there was the Salazar and, oh gosh, I forget her name, that just recently came out, the monies that are supposed to be distributed to every Indian person, but because of the fraud scheme, they're not distributing having a hard time saying it. But, Dave, go ahead, and if you can, call Morning Child, get him back on the phone, please.
What the United States government has done, or I should say, not let's clarify who the government is. The Constitution of the United States of America, in the preamble, very clearly states that we will have nothing to do with the British government or their laws. It's the very last paragraph of the preamble. You need to read it. Okay? So why are we practicing British law in American courts? You say, oh, well, how can we be doing that? How do you know they're doing that? The judges, the lawyers, the attorneys are members of a bar, B-A-R, which is short for British Accredited Registry. They're called barristers, and they answer to the crown. Now, since I brought the crown up, I need to clarify something else for you. The United States has a stranglehold on it in two documents, actually three documents. Number one is the King's Trust, which was signed following the Revolutionary War in Europe. I think there are seven promissory notes that the United States pays to this King's Charter Trust account through the Treaty of Peace that was signed in Paris back in 17-something. I forgot what the exact date was. So that's the first hold. The second hold is that the Charter of the Carolinas is where they are running their court system from today, which means that the United States, that Europe, or the England, I should say, has a stranglehold on the American people. That they consider the United States still their possession. And Canada is a subsidiary corporation of the United States. Now, a guy named Kevin Annett, A-N-N-E-T-T, took the Canadian Prime Minister, the Queen, and the former Pope, who just resigned here not too long ago, about a year ago, to World Court, the new International Court of Justice, and filed a criminal complaint against the Queen and the Pope. And they were found guilty on all counts, and an order was given by the court for them to submit themselves to sentencing in March of 2013. They failed to show for sentencing, so there is now a worldwide arrest warrant out for both the Queen and the Pope. And I can, if you would like, I can go downstairs and dig out the court order number.
By the way, we have Rose Butler on the line with us now.
Bring her in.
She's
I'll
here.
Shut up, Joanne, and you take...
I'm here.
Go ahead.
Okay, Rose, if you would like to share a little bit of your knowledge of what you learned, that would be great. And hopefully you heard what Dave had to say. Sorry.
I kind of came in on the late end, but what I do know is that me and Joanne have worked on several cases trying to get some kind of attention into corruption within reservations, and we've hit every avenue that there is. And what we're finding is that there's a failure in these court systems to recognize the sovereignty of these reservations, and when we take it to higher levels, they just pretty much just ignore it.
That goes into what I was saying earlier about the fact that they protect each other.
Yes.
What they do to one nation, they'll do to all indigenous nations. And what they do to the Indian nation, they'll eventually do it to the black nation, the Mexican nation, the white nation. They don't discriminate when they come to hate and greed. They're in for themselves, and many of us know that who live here now. A lot of homes have been repoed, cars, bank accounts shut down if you don't pay. And they don't pay their taxes, but yet they want you to pay yours. That's the way I see it.
The only case that I've seen that's really made the forefront is with the Shoshone out here in Nevada, where they filed human rights violation against the United States, and in the UN court they won. But winning and applying that are two different things.
Well, a lot of people don't understand. When you get a win in court, to enforce it, you have to get a writ.
Mm-hmm.
And that writ is what gives you the authority to go out and collect on it. Okay, they don't tell you that. You're supposed to know that. When you go to court, you're supposed to know that you need a court order and a writ.
Yes, you have to follow.
So there's no statute of limitation on fraud. So since the court committed fraud against you by failing to advise you of that, in fact, it's a legal maxim that it is a fraud to conceal a fraud. So if you want to look into legal maxims in the back of your Black's Law Dictionary, you will find that there are several pages of legal maxims that these courts ignore.
Yeah, they don't give you a handbook on...
No, because you're supposed to know the law when you walk in the court.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and that's where they get you. They wait for you to make the fatal error, and then they just shut up because they're not going to tell you what the law is.
Such as crossing the bar.
And you have to understand that when you hire an attorney, okay, the last part of the bar, the last paragraph of the bar code is that if you represent your client, you can be disbarred.
Now, and if you have a law, what about the law license, Dave?
They don't. None of them have a law license, Joanne. They use their bar card as their authority in court. These guys don't have law licenses. Are you kidding me? License. They're using their bar cards, for crying out loud. Ask your attorney. I'll tell you what, whenever you deal with an attorney, tell him you want two things. You want a copy of his law license, you want a copy of his bar card, you want a conflict of interest statement. And after they tell you have a nice day, refuse to help you. You know how crooked they are. Oh, another thing is always tell them, I need a complete log every time you make a phone call on my behalf. I want to know who you called and how long you talked. You're not just going to hand me a bill without any data on it. They will throw you away faster than sand in an earthquake. Because I have had attorneys here in Hancock County, Ohio, tell me, if I represent you, I will never win a court case again.
Excuse me.
Why? Because I know more than most of these friggin' attorneys do.
Well, there is definitely a lack of education of the treaty law.
Let me ask you this question. When you were in school, how much law did you study?
None.
How much?
That leads us back talking about Pine Ridge and Wesley Glenn Dick's case and the documents that I left with you, Dave. Those starting with Pine Ridge, there was $2.64 billion, right, Dave and Rose?
Yeah, it was pretty close to that figure, Joanne. I scanned all those and sent them to you. I don't know if you whoever got them or was able to open them, I never heard any more back from you. But some of them were rather large. I don't know if the computer was able to send it all to you. But anyway, we have it all on. We have all this on discs now, too, so that several people got involved in it, and so they can, if they come in and destroy the actual paperwork, we've got it backed up. So I'm not worried about it.
I know from my home here in Nevada, some of my paperwork has walked out of my apartment without my knowledge, and I'm not happy with that. But like Dave said, Pine Ridge and Rose will both verify. I showed Dave. I took a trip to Ohio, Donovan, Illinois, one time, and we met. And Dave looked over the paperwork with me, and we struggled for about 5 days with Pine Ridge. And Rose, she too seemed, not only did she see the paperwork, but she took a trip to Pine Ridge and seen the corruption in Pine Ridge herself. Matter of fact, she was able to make a few friends and bring them home with her little bitty guys.
Why, can I insert this arrest warrant for the Queen and the Pope? The court order is dated August the 4th, 2013, and the order number is 02513-001. And they were found guilty of international crimes against humanity, children trafficking, children pornography, and other things. And they were sentenced to 25-year prison term. And there is an international arrest warrant out for both of them. And if you aid and abet, it goes on in the order, if you aid and abet in any way the Catholic Church or the Queen, you can be arrested as a co-conspirator. All their assets are to be seized. And all stolen land is to be returned to the original owner.
And the Paris Treaty, Article 9, says that if the documents fall into the hands of the police officer, they're to be returned to the original owner. The original owner of the land are the Native Indians of the land. That's both Canada and the United States, Hawaii, Micronesia, and Alaska.
Turtle Island in general.
Yes, exactly.
Turtle Island, as the original people called it, Turtle Island. The English, Portuguese, and whatever, when they came over here and established their post office by planting their flag on the soil, who told us we had to be discovered? I never got a communique on it. Of course, I wasn't born back then, but hey.
They planted their flag, we killed Custer and took the flag. The Great Lakota Nation never gave the United States or anybody the authority to re-replicate the American flag in any kind of sort of way, even down to adding the gold fringe. That's why it's illegal for that flag to be on this land. It was never to be replicated or added stars or stripes or nothing, but they did it. Rose?
I mean, I'm kind of a little illiterate in the area of some of that, but I know through, like, the Revolution, when the colonists took control of the land, that that's when they started changing that flag.
See, this is why it was important for, I wanted Steve Morningchild to be here too, and Charmaine Whiteface, because all of us need to learn the things about what is going on to help one another. And I'm glad, Rose, thank you for coming on and joining us and being a part. And Dave's an excellent teacher, and he's a great friend. And I really deeply appreciate to call him my Hunka brother to helping us, you know, get things together, because I've noticed that there was a lot of things that took place and nobody had the right answers. And when Dave and I had come together, he knew about the English way of law, and I knew the treaty part of it. And we put our ideas, our thoughts together, and we had come to an agreement that if we wrote it together and wrote it under treaty, it would make a lot more sense. We'd combined them together. And Dave did a lot of writing, especially for Wesley. And he has taught Wesley and I both how to do court documents. That was our biggest downfall, was writing letters in the court. We were always allowing other people to write court documents for our Indian people when our Indian people themselves were the supreme law. And that's where treaties came into effect, where there's two kinds of sovereignty. There's sovereignty as the sovereignty in nation, and then sovereign, S-O-V-R-A-N, where the individual then stands up and becomes a leader. And as long as the government never told anybody that, how could you become a sovereign? How could you lead sovereignty? How could you lead your people to a better way of life if you didn't know the way out? Hello?
Hello? I believe on...
Where's our radio host go?
I'm right here.
You have any questions for Dave? Anything, our roles?
No,
or
I tried getting the fellow from Cree back, and he said he wasn't going to be able to continue.
Well, I know that on the sovereignty issue right now, that some tribal governments are really twisting a lot of what it means to be sovereign, and we have some issues where they're trying to gain certain funds through claiming sovereignty or instilling certain laws within the reservation by citing sovereignty, and the laws are going against what the tribe themselves are want. And we're having that issue with Pine Ridge on the alcohol issue, because they're claiming sovereignty, that they can do what they want, but the council in turn is elected by the people of the tribe and are supposed to do the bidding of that tribe. But they're claiming, because the people don't want the alcohol, now they're claiming sovereignty, which you can't be sovereign within your own nation. Your nation is sovereign, not the council.
We have to clarify sovereignty. First of all, let's take it back to the beginning. In the beginning, a sovereign God created the heaven and the earth and all things therein. And then he created man and woman as sovereigns, sub-sovereign at the least. Governments, well, first of all, let's go on further. Then God wrote the law. Okay? And then man took the law and created the government and said, this is what you are allowed to do. And then he either elected, appointed, hired, whatever, to run his government through
either a constitution or an agreement, some kind of document. Then our employees decided, they're not capable of running their government. So then they created us as their commodity and slaves through the birth certificate fraud scheme. Are you starting to catch on?
Just to elaborate what Dave said, in the 80-40 resolution, it says, I'm going to read a couple of them, and it's going to verify what Dave is saying. On behalf of the Sioux Nation Treaty Council, this is the Tetuan Sioux Treaty Council. The Constitution and bylaws of the Oglala Sioux Tribe is enacted through the Willard and Howard Act of June 18, 1934. The Willard and Howard Act of 1894 forbids to interfere or give governing authority. Tribal council do not have authority to hire an attorney to take legal advice or give legal advice on behalf of the Sioux Nation as specified in the Constitution and bylaws of the Oglala Sioux Tribe. The Constitution and bylaws of the Oglala Sioux Tribe specify support of financial assistance to the National Sioux Council, and whereas the Oglala Sioux Tribe is a branch of the Sioux Nation, is comprised of the seven bands of the Sioux Nation Treaty Council, is the sole authority to take legal advice and seek presidential executive orders and congressional remedies on behalf of the Sioux Nation members are litigates, civil or criminal class actions in the court of law. The Sioux Nation Treaty Council is enacted through the Treaty of the Sioux Nation. That means that the Treaty Council, the Tetuan Treaty Council, is the lead council among the Lakota, just as Charmaine was saying. And that's what I wanted her, God, I wish she wouldn't have never hung up. But what Dave is saying is right. What our Indian people are saying is right. What Steve Morningchild is saying is right. And it's really important. And they said, I believe Dave knows this, and I know Rose knows it, is they want to kill off the Indian people. And if they killed our Indian people off, then they can call this land America and do what they did. And they're doing it in such a way that even Obama's involved. Am I right, Dave? Hello?
As far as I know.
They do not want the United States to exist as a nation, or any other nation to exist as a nation. They want to create a new world order, a one-world government. And they want, their intention is to kill 98% of the population. And those who survive will be the slaves to the corporation. And that is found in the United Nations documents. And if you can find Marie Murray, who was a former employee of the UN, she was on Freedom Fighter Radio, and I think if you go back into the archives of Freedom Fighter Radio, you will find where we had her, because I used to be the co-host of Freedom Fighter Radio, and we had her on the show, and she gave us the actual proof and documentation on the radio, and then sent it to Jim, I can't think of his last name now. Anyway, sent it to Jim, the actual to the show. The documentation's proving that their goal is to kill 90% of the world's population.
Isn't it to decrease the population down to 500 million?
Because they're afraid we're going to run out of, gas, oil, whatever, okay? they were also, the UN was responsible for giving $10 million to the Department of Army to develop the AIDS virus. And then they infected 1 million Africans with smallpox, injected the AIDS virus into the vaccination, and that's how they eliminated 1 million Africans.
Also, they didn't. They injected that into the hepatitis.
Yes, they did.
Vaccine here in the U.S. in order to diminish the undesirable population. I seen an article out of the Washington Times back in 1989.
You're probably right. Mm-hmm. That's the right era.
And that the AIDS virus came on the scene very fast and killed very fast, and now that it has the time to
they actually have a cure for AIDS, but they're just not letting it out. Okay. They have a cure for it. By the way, all my research, so that people understand where I come from, all my research is done through congressional records, research in bills and acts of Congress. And by the way, acts are acts of war against us. Okay. Trading with the Enemies Act, they made the American people the enemy of the New World Order. And that's why we are treated like animals in a cage when we go to court, okay? And what was it, Joanne, Title 7, Chapter 2, at 136B, they created man as an animal in the Farm Bill. So all men are animals according to law. And why do we have to be animals? Animals
don't
are.
Tell that to Sue Wallace. She'll try to kill us and feed us in Burger King.
Well, there was a person, a gentleman, I believe, that was looked into what you're talking about, being men classified as animals, and it was a case, I believe it was in Texas, and they were working with colloidal silver, and these particular people had bought this other company that had been busted and put out of business, and this particular gentleman, I believe, was a lawyer that took on the case and worked on defending them, and he brought up a case that cited exactly what you're talking about, where they changed the law, and they said man and other animals in the law.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he brought up a freedom of religion case or defense against that, saying that that violated their rights, religious rights, that did not, that only recognized man not as an animal, but as something created by the Creator. Exactly. So they brought up a case like that, and I believe that they won that case.
I've seen documents.
Are you aware of that case?
I have not studied that particular case, no, but I understand that since I have been bringing this out to the general public, there's a lot of people going back into court new evidence relating to their case. How can you, if you've made me an animal, your job is to feed me. How can you charge me with crimes if you're as the owner, supposedly the state of owns all the wildlife, okay? So if I'm your ward, how can you charge me with criminal acts?
I've seen documents from the Trail of Tears, and they counted the people by head,
uh-huh,
listing them like they would cattle.
Yeah, exactly what they did. You have to understand that England, when they came over here, they pulled the same stunt on Turtle Island that they played in Ireland. They come in, they establish their colonies, they establish their little form of government, they wrote it in language that that nobody understood but them, and they took over the country. That's called land theft.
I didn't even know the word Yermophytes until Dave taught the word to me, and then Yermophytes good faith and Yermophytes on paper, and I didn't know there was such a thing to ever exist. So I thank Dave for that, you know, and I hope that a lot of people, they get to listen to this show because it is important. And if there's anybody else out there that'd like to join us, just please call in.
See, the thing with you, Yermophytes, is that your courts, actually what you don't realize, when the court says sign this document, they're forcing you to sign it without revealing the fact that you're entering into a contract. And the fact that they have just done that is fraud because they failed to reveal to you what their intent was. So if you've been convicted of anything in court, I don't care if it's a parking ticket, they failed to reveal the fact that, number one, they didn't have any authority over you in the first place. Because all the pseudo-corporate courts can only deal in contract law. That's it.
Dave, if I could mention, and Rose, I wanted to talk about these things that we're talking about, these treaties and the embezzlement of federal government documents being manipulated through lack of good faith, maybe is a better word. But I wanted the people out there who's listening, I'm trying to raise $50,000 for propane in Pine Ridge. Dave knows that there's enough embezzlement in Pine Ridge to build a warehouse, but there is no warehouses in Pine Ridge.
No.
Rose, been to Pine Ridge and know that people are paying rent on condemned homes.
Oh,
and,
horrible homes.
And some of these homes, they're fixing up, but they're only doing it because they know that a few of the homes are my relatives. But on the other hand, I know a lot more people in Pine Ridge than the Oglala Sioux tribe thinks. And what I also wanted to say was the tribe wanted to hand the corporation back over to the BIA. And the BIA is ran by the United States government, but like Dave was saying, because of the 1933 Bankruptcy Act, it was handed over to the United Nations, where the United Nations pays attention to the treaties. In the Treaty of Paris, if anything should fall into hands of an officer, it goes back to the original owners, who are the Indian people. But until that step happens, these people will always continue to live in condemned homes. My relatives, not, let me correct that, my Lakota Oyate people and others on reservations will continue to live in condemned homes.
We have to remember, Joanne, that had they have given us the Susticee Trust accounts, the Native Americans and the American people themselves, all they had to do when they needed to buy something was to go in and sign it. Their account number and their signature, and the Susticee Trust would have paid for it lock, stock, and barrel. Do you understand why that Congress breached their fiduciary duty by not telling the American people that that trust account exists?
Tell us why, Dave.
So any Native American out there who is the Department of Interior, Bureau of Indian Affairs, is handing over money to the tribal councils, and they're not giving it to the original people, their native nations. They should be able to take this propane when they need it, order it, and and bill the council for payment.
Oh,
you shouldn't have to worry about being paid or paying the bill. The money should already be there.
Well,
if it's not there, then they need to go into the SESTQ trust and get it.
With the tribal councils that are right now in charge of everything, the corruption is so bad, and things need to be dished out the way that they're supposed to, but they're not, because we have greedy people that are lining their own pockets and taking care of their own families.
Sure.
And leaving the others to fend for themselves. I just got word here this last week that, and I won't mention his name, but that we have one council member that's probably got the backing of many.
Yes, I'll tell you all about that.
That is
Garfield's
negotiating.
Hold on, Rose. I want to say this. I'm glad you brought this up. Garfield's little dog Still. His picture's on my Facebook. And Garfield is a nephew to past President John Still, and a first cousin to Kevin Still. And in politics, that's called nepotism. Nepotism is illegal. Garfield's little dog Still, he is, he sodomizes young boys. And he uses his his nephews to rape young girls, and these young boys and girls, they brand them with a machete, with the letters TBZ, and gives these young kids cocaine. And some of the kids who told their parents or grandparents, there was actually a case where he ran over one of the kids with a car. Or telling the parents. And Brian Brewer had had released Garfield little dog Still, and because he had a lot of backing in the Oglala Sioux Tribal Council, he was reelected into the Oglala Sioux Tribe of the Great Tetuan Nation. And not the federal government, state, local state, or federal government did not do nothing about it. And this was also reported to Tracy Tublu. The FBI, the CIA, and the BIA, Bureau of Indian Affairs, never did nothing about it. There's also a case here in Reno, Nevada, where there's a young lady, her son was shot in the Walmart parking lot of the Reno Sparks Indian Colony within the boundaries of the Paiute Nation. Go ahead, Rose. I just had to say that. That made me feel good, because he has no business sodomizing young boys and raping girls and branding them with a machete.
Well,
I wish I was a man.
What I've been seeing is that we have a lot of sheep in wolves' clothing on tribal council. People that are saying that they are working to keep alcohol out when they're really not. They're just trying to keep people at ease, to keep them from being upset. So they think that they have somebody on their side when they're not really on their side. Two tribal council members that voted to not have alcohol were caught within 2 weeks after that, negotiating with alcohol distributors. Also, the money that's been sitting forever on the Black Hills, there is one council member that has been to Washington within the past 2 weeks that is trying to negotiate and try to find out how to get that money for the Black Hills.
So they can embezzle it.
Well,
she's talking about is Brian Brewer of the Oglala Sioux Tribe and Robin Tapio, both half-breeds. They're not full-bloods. The money is to go to the full-bloods, not the half-breeds. And the Lakota people don't touch that because of them treaties. They're
Black Hills is not for sale.
land is not for sale. I hope the UN is listening to this radio show.
The land was stolen through fraud by trickery. The original 10 treaties, which were the commerce treaties, only leased the land and gave them permission to toil the first 6 inches of soil for farming. And there was a stump fee to be paid, $3 per tree for every tree that they cut down. And none of that has ever been paid forward to any of the Indian nations. None of it. The British Crown, on the death of one of the kings, and I forgot which one it was, it's back in the 1300s, stated to the king, if you would like me to forgive you of your sins, you will turn your treasury over to me. That was a pope. So you can buy forgiveness of sin? That's interesting.
I found a
Bible
story.
Says that there's only one who forgives sin, and that's God.
I found a story the other day that said that at least 40% of our tax dollars that are paid in by U.S. citizens eventually go to the Vatican.
Actually, you're wrong. They all go there.
Oh, wow.
And the reason for that is that King's Charter, which I have now put an international arrest warrant out for that, and the King's Charter and the Charter of Carolina, and there's going to be two more documents that I put an international arrest warrant out for, and one of them is the United States of America, DBA Corporation, because it's unconstitutional.
You know what I think is unconstitutional?
I think
is having gold, oil, and energy on your land, and you don't even get a red penny. I have that on my land, and shoot, I'm broke in hell, and here it is Christmas time.
Do you realize?
And I'm a Lakota.
What's wrong with this picture, Joanne? Kuwait. One of the largest oil-producing countries in the world, when they receive money from the oil, they consider it to be everybody's property, and they divide the profits to all members of the country.
Yeah, but that's Kuwait. We're not in Kuwait.
I
We're
know,
on our
but
land.
I'm just saying. So what's the – since God owned the land to begin with – and the American Indians never owned the land. They never had deeds and titles to land.
We never had paper either.
That's exactly right.
Actually,
so
the Hopi had English,
this is how they stole the land, okay? They came in and they set up their title companies, and they began writing paper saying, oh, we own this land, we're selling it to you, blah, 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 blah. That is how they stole it. The Indians were divided the country up by territory.
Well, I have a solution for all this mess. My solution is every nationality on this land marches towards Washington, and we just get rid of Washington, close it down, and build a something different, because this corporation, this DBA bankruptcy de facto no good damn business here, that's superseding by lie after lie using a piece of paper is not working for none of us.
They're going around the world telling the world that
this land is America, and Mr. Obama should be ashamed of himself for Martinelli's, or was it Martinelli or Morella?
They're
Morella,
in violation
yes?
of their public trust. Is exactly
yes,
what they're
and,
doing.
what I'm saying here is nobody believes them no more. So why keep somebody around you don't trust? I mean, even if a thief came in my home or your home or any one of us, we would ask them to leave because they're not welcome back. So why do we want to keep the government around who is not even a government to begin with? They're homeless people who landed on our land who was lost at sea. Maybe we need to send them back to Europe.
Well, a lot of the people here are sheeple, and they're so used to being led, and they're so passive that they'll just keep putting up with it.
Yeah, most people don't have a clue of the fraud scheme they've played against us from the beginning, and this goes all the way back to 1492 when all this crap started. Because what they did was the Europeans emptied their jails, threw them on the three ships, and set them at sea. Go find a place to stay.
Yeah.
And if you do that and you find it and you colonize it for us and you work for us for so many years, we'll give you the land. We'll give you so many acres of land. How could they make that agreement before they even knew the land existed, supposedly? And then the papal bull, Joanne, we didn't even mention the papal bull. The papal bull that was given to, which explorer was it down? He landed in South America. Anyway, that papal bull, and it's still on the website of the church.
Well, that
any heathen who does not convert to
the Catholic
religion is to be killed. That's what it says. So the Catholic Church is not a church or a religion. It is a cult. Because if you have to force people into your religion under threat of death, that's a cult. And they slaughtered millions of us.
You know, what I don't understand is what kills me inside is we have agents like Garfield, Little Dog Steele, and John Yellowbird Steele, and Kevin Steele, who claim to be Lakotas, and they embezzle from their tribal members, and they sell drugs, and they give the kids cocaine, and they sodomize the boys, and they gang rape little girls, and they intimidate them, and they call them South Lakotas. As true Lakota people, we don't care for those kind of people. Even in prison, there's no races in prison when it comes to men who molest children. And for Garfield and Kevin and John Yellowbird Steele, I am recording this, and I am going to put it on Facebook, and I want people to know what kind of man you are, because you're not a man. You're some kind of monster that the government created because they're monsters. But the difference between that government and you is at least they are doing it on paper. You did it to our whole entire Lakota nation. You disgraced the name Wounded Knee. And you've hurt not just the descendants, but the future generation. You should have took a gun and killed all of us if you didn't like us. And I don't have the right words to tell you over the internet or the radio.
As
but
long
I
as you say,
you in my heart.
As long as you say, in my opinion, they can't come after
you. In my opinion, I kick your ass.
Okay.
But it's not going to work like that. In my opinion, I hope the government lives up to their onerous fiduciary duty of putting a monster like yourself away. I pray that. I hope that. Because a child molester does deserve to be free and be in government office like you guys. And I hope that the United Nations hears that, because I'm not the only one who's mad, but the grandmothers are mad for you hurting their children. Our people are angry for what you have done. That's not a Lakota way. I don't care how many Sundances you go to, or ceremonies, or how long you read the Bible. When you do that to somebody, it's going to take a lot of forgiving. But you'll meet your maker one day, I hope. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Every time I think of this conversation and how this man did that to our children, knowing the hardships we already have on top of what we got by the United States government, it's a damn shame.
But knowing
in
that
my
still
opinion.
In office.
Joanne, it's not the United States government that's doing this. It's the employees of the United States government that are doing this.
Thank you for correcting.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish, and you can read it all, okay, states that we, the men and women of this nation, are the government. So don't tell me it's the government that's doing this. It's our employees who are doing this.
Oh, they're a de facto government. They're not a de jure. They're operating under color of law.
That's right. Fraud by trickery.
The American people need to come together and, as taxpayers, demand accountability as to where their tax dollars are going in this situation, and demand a check and balance system, and demand that the federal government gets involved in these corrupt dealings.
I have already written to my congressman, and I said, you are now aware of the situation and the problem. What are you going to do to correct it?
The apostolic letter. I vote for the apostolic letter to be enforced on John Yellowbird Still, Garfield Still, and Kevin Still, because they had knowledge of what was going on. And the federal government employees for not doing nothing about it, like Tracy Tublu.
But all the correct and appropriate government agencies have been made aware of the situation, that there are third world countries sitting right here in the United States due to corruption.
Exactly.
And they're choosing not to do anything about it. And the reason why they are is because they don't have to face accountability, because the American public is ignorant to the fact that these things are going on within their own country. They don't let this information out. Do you ever see this on the news?
Well, this is the first show that I've ever been on that I've been able to expose the truth. And if anybody doubts I'm exposing this, they can go to my court cases, because I've written it into the cases. Everything from the Supreme Court, Rod Klass and I sued the United States government back in 2000. Well, I started my first lawsuit against the government in 2008. And 2009, I believe it was, Rod and I sued the corporation. And in that case, we filed it in U.S. District Court in Washington, D.C. The defendants picked the case up without a motion for change of venue, moved it over to the bankruptcy court, and then made a motion to dismiss for lack of subject matter jurisdiction, and the court bought it and ruled against us.
Oh, wow.
Now, if you think that our court case wasn't strong, Google my name and Rod Klass. My last name's spelled B-U-E-S-S. And Rod Klass, and you can start checking our history and the court cases we filed, and then you can check my name along with Winona Palamente in U.S. District Court, in the Ohio Supreme Court, defendants in the Supreme Court never answered summons. We made a motion for default judgment, and the court ignored it and then dismissed the case. This is how crooked these people are.
Yeah, and that's what we're seeing on every avenue. It's like,
yes, it is.
You have a whole government that does not care. That you know, from the bottom FBI agents and BIA agents and everything within these reservations, they are all getting their pockets lined. And they'll ignore these cases as long as they're allowed to due to that corruption.
Yeah, I think I'm on my sixth case, three current and two on Court of Appeals in the Sixth Circuit. So I'm a very busy guy.
And I hear, I mean, last year there was a story of some news guy with 2020 or Dateline was talking about how they need to stop funding the reservations because of the handouts. No, they need to stop funding the corruption.
Exactly.
And allow the reservations to have the money and the things that they were promised in their treaties. So the
exactly.
rest of us could live on this in this country.
Yeah, my ancestors goes all the way back to the founders of the Constitution of the United States. And I am proud to be a fighter for freedom
and
the American people.
And the Oglala Tribal Council, they talk about how poor the tribe is and in what bad shape they're in. But yet, that tribal council goes on big expenditures for travel allowances, where they're paying masseurs, where they're paying for the best hotels and the best food. My opinion is if your tribe is poor and you have people that are freezing and starving, you have no right to live in luxury off of their backs.
Well, the Iroquois Nation owns a very, very large building in Washington, D.C., which the Inspector General of the Treasury has his office.
Well, actually, Tammany Hall, a friend of mine and his family, Michael Wolf, was suing New York City because of the title dispute over Tammany Hall, which is their city hall.
I think the Mohawk own Manhattan Island.
Yeah. Well, you know, right now, it's like, I mean, if you're a Bible believer, we're in the same situation right now as it was back just before the deluge. Everything is that bad.
Including,
Jesus said in 24th of Matthew, he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in these days. And you've even got abductions going on, you know, the Bible's full of UFO references and, you know, fallen angels coming down and abducting people and crossbreeding with them. That's going on here too. And so, you know, the whole prophetic picture is full. And if you want to know more information about, you know, where we stand in the prophetic picture, I encourage people to go on to YouTube and watch a video called Daniel's Timeline. It's about an hour and a half, and I'm not going to say any more because if I told you about it, everybody I tell what Daniel's Timeline is all about, they say, oh, no, that's not true. And then they sit and watch it for 90 minutes, and they just go, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they predicted
50
years ago, thousands of years ago.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, the way Water also, you know, some of the Hopi elders talked about, they said at their point, and this is back years ago, and they said they felt at that time that it was likely that the only remedy to our situation with the greed and corruption running at the levels they were at, and this was back then, they thought we had passed the point of being able to turn around, that the only thing left was purification.
Well, they said back when Hale Bopp was in the sky that 7 years from the time it disappeared, the red star Kachina would be discovered when the blue star was in the sky. And I didn't even know about that prophecy until that the month it was supposed to be fulfilled. And so I got on NASA, you know, space.com, and put in the word red star. 2 weeks before that, a red dwarf was discovered 10 light years from Earth while Comet Neat was in the sky, the brightest comet ever seen. And the Hopi called this, they said that this would be known as Sakwasoha, and they said that it would be benevolent. It said it would give us a chance, a last chance to get together and purify ourselves, and if we didn't do it, that we would be purified. And they said after that, the comets that would be following that would not be benevolent. Now we're looking at Comet Ison with a debris trail that the Earth is going to pass through in January, and it's going to take an entire week for us to pass through it. And Mark, you were telling what you told me about the possibility of what might happen with flaming balls falling out of the sky, just like it talks about in the Bible.
Well,
so, you want to.
It has to do with, all kinds of stuff could be falling out of the sky, and it has to do with. The Maya talk about at one point in time that there was, if you look in the records, the bitumen or oil compound, hydrocarbons were literally raining out of the sky. Well, we understand how that can happen because we have a moon in our own solar system that is doing that right now as we speak. It's the Titan, the moon of Saturn, and it has literally sort of oceans of methane and hydrocarbons, and they move up in the atmosphere and they rain back down. We have hydrocarbons, massive amounts of methane right now moving up into Earth's atmosphere from the oceans.
Mm-hmm.
If you do Google search on methane and oceans and releases and records and stuff like that, you'll find the information. There is the methane that can come now. Now, there's one other unique characteristic of Titan, and that is Titan has almost no magnetic field. The Earth and the sun's both magnetic fields have been lowering, going down. We are looking at the potential at some point in the future that the Earth's magnetic fields could reverse. If they do that, they could go to go down to zero. If they do that, then all that methane going up will come back down.
Yep.
Also, magnetic reversals on the sun are involved with natural nuclear explosions. In other words, we don't have to have human beings doing it. We could have nuclear explosions going on all over the planet. On top of this, so we could have oil coming down. It could get set on fire. We could have massive amounts of all kinds of stuff coming down at us, including micro iron dust that burned the holes to mastodons, the ones that, you know, they found the stuff in their mouth and they were flash frozen. Well, one other thing that they had is they had micro iron holes bored through their tusks and bones and stuff, stuff raining down out of the sky. Radiation, I mean, some of that bitumen could catch on fire to oil. So, yeah, we could literally have, and this is all deposited in geologic layers on the Earth.
Right.
There's a good book, if you want to read it, it's called Magnetic Reversals by Robert Felix, I believe. It's a fairly straightforward, simple book, and it spells this out pretty simply, pretty easy read, and this is something that's very real and can happen. And if we start seeing indications in the last 10-15 years. We've had animals affected by magnetics, electromagnetics. We've had airline strips landing things reoriented because the pole shifting, magnetic north and such. So if our field goes down, and this is tied to the Hopi's twins at each of the poles, they connect into the magnetic fields of the Earth. And the Hopi said, you know, if we do not, if we get out of line, the Creator will tell, you know, the two twins, the poles, to shake up a little bit. That causes the weather and stuff to change, to warn us, to get us our attention and make us think about what we're doing. If we don't listen, the Creator just tells the two brothers at the poles just to let go. Then you're in trouble. And
well,
that
back in the back in the
1850s,
we passed through a comet debris field, and about a third of the state of Wisconsin was on fire for a while. And so all kinds of things can happen when with these cosmic objects. And
well, we have, but, I believe, right now, 5 comets in the solar system, not just Ison. We have Ison, Lovejoy, Encke, and 2 others. I forget the other 2 names. But there's 5 of them in here right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just with what you just pointed out, and if you look at the Book of Revelation and how God explains how this is all going to end, okay, on His return, in the Battle of Armageddon, the United States is not mentioned, and.
Well, the
so
U.S.
Is
the first government that will be broken broken up.
Right.
Oh, by the way, if you want to know more about this information, go to Google the words "Hopi prophecy fulfilled," and you'll get a result from WolfLodge.org, and you can read about this discovery. And because people are confused and they're wondering whether Ison's the blue star or whatever, no, that's already been fulfilled. And but you know, the third prophecy of Fatima, that was never publicly announced. But back in 1985, there was a group of faithful Catholics that buttonholed John Paul II, and he said, well, you know, if we were to release that millions of people would die in the blink of an eye because ice sheets and oceans would sweep over entire continents, that's not something much to be publicized. And this is exactly, you know, what would happen if we had a pole reversal and you know, something like a dark star coming by and its south pole or north pole grabbing the whole of our south pole and just flipping us over.
Well, look
and,
at the recent armies.
Well, we don't even need a object to do it to us, because if our magnetic fields go, then the Earth is like, it can be thought of like a dynamo. In other words, it doesn't require the entire Earth mass, the core, mantle, and crust to flip. All it requires is for the dynamo and the magnetic polarity reversal of the dynamo of the Earth, like a motor. If you take a motor, you have the outside casing of the motors like the crust, and you have the inner parts of the motor like the core and stuff. What happens when you flip the electrical leads and positive is negative and negative is positive?
Reverse polarity, yeah.
Yeah, and the crust is the part. So the crust, all that has to happen is for the crust to change in the way its relationship to the core and the mantle. And that was in, I think Hapgood's book talked about that a little bit. But that's all that would have to happen. So it doesn't require the entire plant mass of the planet. All it requires is the crust to move. And we got problems.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that's the reason why, you know, we've been telling people for years, get out of the cities. Get the Hopi have long said, get out of California. But they're saying get out of the mountains and forest. Get up to a high enough elevation where
you wouldn't be affected by flooding. And because there have been so many people that have seen, going back to the late 80s, the Loria Del Toys and the Gordon Michael Scallions and all kinds of people have seen the future flooding. And matter of fact, the winter of 2009-10, I was visiting with the Cherokee Ottawahee down in Texas, and I told them about a dream vision I had, what I was told back in 92. And he just laughed, and I said, "What are you laughing about?" And he said, "Well, I was shown there was gonna that the Great Plains would be flooded," and he just laughed, and he said, "Well, I was up on top of Lookout Mountain, you know, west of Denver, doing Hamblecha, and I probably mispronounced that, Joanne. I'm a Cherokee, you know." And he says, "I saw the wave coming across the Great Plains." He says, "It flushed Denver just like a toilet." Anyway, on a lighter note,
that sooner came down Colorado Mountains a few weeks back, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And it was pronounced right, Hamblecha. That's good. I'm just listening. I'm listening to what everybody has to say.
Mad Bear Anderson. Mad Bear Anderson, the medicine man. At Tuscarora, he was at Alcatraz. He was the spiritual guy behind the American Indian movement. In 1972, he was driven from New York out to Salt Lake City. And when you get to a certain place east of Salt Lake, you can start to see the valley floor. And he freaked out and demanded that the driver stop. And he got out and looked around and shook his head and got back in the car. And she said, "What's wrong, Bear?" And he said, "Oh, it's too bad." And he says, "I've seen that in vision, and that's going to be flooded someday." And, drove downtown and he pointed at I see that gold statue on top of that building. He was pointing at the Mormon temple. So that's going to be flooded all the way up to the bottom of the statue. Well, the bottom of the statue is the level of old Lake Bonneville.
I live right in Lake Bonneville area.
Yeah. So
I have to share something about my experience going towards South Dakota. Last Sunday, last week I got a phone call that my Aunt Zelda, Fast Horse Spotted Bear, passed away. And my brother, he was critical in the hospital. And I was waiting till after Thanksgiving to go to South Dakota. And I was planning a trip that way to say my goodbyes to my brother, because he has 7 fish fistulas in his stomach that will never heal. And my brother, he's going to be passing away soon. And it's hard to say that. It's hard to come to those kind of terms when you know that. And every day you have to think of something good. And I had some friends who had given me their frequent flyer miles. And I had rode over from Reno to Denver, and to talk about what you guys are saying is, I remember flying over between Reno to Winnemucca. I believe they call those round farms, where in the ground they look like a farm field, but they're round.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like 100 of them, side by side. And I remember we were flying past Winnemucca, and there was those mountains there. And never knew in my whole life how many mountains were between Winnemucca and Salt Lake.
Oh, and the rubies.
There was there was this guy, he was an Indian. It was a picture of an Indian on his knees with a gourd singing towards the sky. He was praying towards the sky. As we were flying over that area, the Ruby Mountains, as you're saying, as we were flying over that, we come across the Salt Lake, and on the land, there was a woman. She looked like an Indian woman with long, beautiful hair. And she looked like she threw a blanket on the ground, like she was throwing a blanket out on the ground. And if you know how to throw a blanket and you whip that end of it, that end of the blanket will curl, and then it'll lay flat on the ground. And I remember seeing that, and as I looked into the sky, straight across the sky, underneath the airplane was clouds. They were forming from Salt Lake, and they were coming, looked like they were coming towards Nevada. But then right next to the airplane, I'd say maybe about 4 or 5 feet away from the airplane, there was a circle. It looked like a dust circle, but the dust is on the ground. The dust is not way thousands of feet in the air. But this was like gray, like when the airplane takes off, you know that you can see the heat wave from the airplane when it takes off.
Mm-hmm.
But this wasn't an airplane. This was a round circle, and it was gray, looked like a dust cloud, and it was spinning clockwise. It was spinning clockwise right next to the airplane. And those of us who were sitting on the left-hand side of the airplane, we were all looking at this. And that was a time I wish I would have had a camera.
Mm-hmm.
To videotape this thing that was in the air. But what you're talking about, I think it's real. I think that what is about to happen is going to happen. But if we pray and we take care of one another, God is going to help us to live. And that's what I do a lot of times. I say, I want to help our people to live. I don't mean the Lakota, Nakota, Dakota, or just Wounded Knee or Pine Ridge. I mean every one of us. This is our land. God, give it to us. We're supposed to take care of it. Somehow, some way, when the people get into office or they get too rich, they forget about who they are, where they come from, who their family members are. And they want to be like someone, but this someone don't even know who they are. They don't know where they come from. But if we all believe in God, Creator Almighty, we're going to be okay. But if we
don't,
then Reno, California.
That's right.
There's an old story. I remember when I was a kid, my auntie, she said, there's going to be a big storm one day, and it's going to take out New York and parts of Texas, and it's going to come inland, and it's going to almost reach Minnesota that way. That's how much the ocean's going to come on that side. This other side, that volcano's going to go off, and it's going to shoot hundreds of miles in the air, and it's going to, that ash is going to come over. And it's going to be, I forget how many feet high she said it's going to be. It's going to cover the earth, this earth that we walk on, because we're not taking care of it. She said there's going to be a flood. There's going to be a flood that's going to come, and it's going to come to California. But because those reservoirs aren't strong enough, it'll break every single reservoir in California. And those mountains will hold that water back to a certain point, but it won't hold it all back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really scary. It's really scary how our Indian people treat one another and forget this traditional value, these praying, these ways of life. It's not about just a treaty, but it's about God. It's about Creator. It's about this land He's given us. We're supposed to be grateful for it, not ungrateful. We're supposed to be kind and loving to one another. And we're not. I mean, look at what I said about Garfield Still, how he's sodomizing boys. Boys aren't to be sodomized. That's your private, that's like a gold mine for just a man. Nobody's to touch that. Girl, same thing. That part there, that love, that compassion for one another, never supposed to go away. And young kids are having babies. Babies are having babies. And so maybe we deserve this. Maybe we deserve to see the reality of our actions up close. I know I'm scared of it. I don't want to live through it, and I beg God that my son don't live through it, but unfortunately, I don't run this land, and God is showing me that, because my brother, when I seen those seven fistulas on his stomach, I beg God for my brother to live, but my brother and I, we knew different. We knew that my brother wouldn't make it, and my brother, he got to talk to them eagle feathers for 7 days while I was in South Dakota. And it was probably the hardest thing for us, because my brother was the one who shot me in my hand. And when we were kids, we were playing hide and seek, and I was playing under a car, and that car fell on my leg and damn near took it out. And it was like, you know, once my brother goes, then who's going to live this life with me? I mean, I got Hunk Oz brothers like Dave and Hunk Oz sisters like Rose and different ones that are around that are helping. But, you know, the reality of the story is we need to help take care of each other, and we need to take care of this land. And we don't need to destroy it by digging holes. Every time there's a hole they dug, it's like an egg. It's like an egg. You take so many holes in the egg, and the egg is going to crack. And it's going to disintegrate. And that's what you guys were talking about, those prophecies. And, you know, the sound of the flute, I always listen to the flute, and I think of how birds chirp and butterflies fly. And we're losing them things. We're forgetting who we are. Animals are growing to humongous size creatures nowadays that people never seen in their whole life. And these things, when they don't have a mind of their own, so they get mad, and if they hit something, it can crack the earth again, you know, something like that. Or if somebody's drilling on one side of the world and those animals hit a mountain under the water on the other side, you know, nobody thinks like that. And they all think about how much money they're going to get, who's going to live the richest. Even the millionaires, they have 1 to 12, the 12 richest billionaires in the world, how much money they have in their account. They forget about everybody else. But hopefully God will remember us. Hopefully God will have pity on those of us who are still here. And these things, that's why I want to say something, too. I don't know how much time we have, but I wanted to say this is Pine Ridge, they don't have no propane. And I am trying to raise $50,000 for them. And I am putting it on the radio. So maybe some elders can have heat, kids can be warm. And we may not do this forever and ever, but at least it's a try, you know, try to help the best way we can. And I hope that the United Nations is listening, and that you, for once in your lifetime, come and help our Indian people and help us to save this Mother Earth. You talk about peace. I see your web pages all over Facebook, and I'm on them. You talk about how much peace you want in the world. Well, come over here and help us to get rid of this federal government called himself the United States of America Federal Government Corporation employees who embezzle this money. If anybody in the world embezzled in different countries, they'd be in prison. Their hands would be chopped off. They wouldn't be able to see their families. Anything. But this corporation, they get to do that. So they, too, should be treated like anybody else because they're no better than the rest of us. If they can do it, then so could everybody else. But if we can't do it, then why do they get special privileges? What makes them high and mighty, better
That's
than
right.
the rest of us? And those of us who are natives of the land, it's our land. It's not theirs. They were guests here. They're never supposed to do that. They were trusted servants. The Yernafides,
right.
utmost good faith, is broken in every way. So we get what we deserve when in the eyes of the Creator, if it's not in the eyes of justice or peace of the United
right.
Nations. So
right.
you know, before we close this up, if we can pray to Tungashila, pray to God, ask him to please forgive us. Let him hear what we have to say. Let him know that our hearts and our minds are one with him, that maybe our people, we can. But the way I feel myself, you know, as a Lakota Tetuan Treaty member, activist, or however you want to look at me, me too, I got feelings. I'm angry. I'm hurt. I'm disappointed with the men who have hurt our children and raped our young girls. I'm disappointed about that. I thought I was mad about the paper and, you know, the embezzlement and all that, but this other one is far beyond that. It's gone too far. And in my opinion, something really needs to be done, and it needs to be done soon as possible. Because if we let it go undone, it's going to only get worse.
Yeah, before we go, and we do need to, want to encourage everybody to Google Lee Standing Bear's vision on the mountain. Lee Standing Bear is the elder of Manataka, M-A-N-A-T-A-K-A. And Google that and read it. And but we do need to go. I want to thank everybody, and we'll get back together soon. Okay.
Okay.
Let's pray.
Can I insert something real quick here?
Sure. Go ahead.
Queen Elizabeth has actually resigned her throne, and she's in hiding right now. She resigned her throne to the Pope. Not the Anglican Church.
Interesting.
And she did that in 2011.
Yeah, I understand that when she met Haile Selassie, she kissed his ring, which means she would have recognized his authority. There's a lot of strange things that go on. It's really esoteric unless you know... But, hey, we need to go. They're going to cut our stream off. Appreciate you guys.
Okay. I hope I've enlightened you, and thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's
we'll
say
again.
A quick... Wait.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Atewa kantankatak ashla wupla unshmailo omakiayo damwashte hecha oyateki yuha chantewashte yuha helo. Atewa kantankatak ashla shunka wakana tatanka na shunka ki yuha wakanki na mini wichoniki yuha damwashte hecha. Creator Almighty God, thank you for this day. Thank you for all the gifts you had given each and every one of us, the home, some place warm to be and some food to eat. Thank you for this day and thank you for all my friends. Please clear our hearts of anything that is unsaid and undone. Please forgive us for hurting our Mother Earth. Guide us and protect us that we can have many more years of this land together. Aho, Madaki Api. Amen.
Aho. And Aho. Stay on the line. After I roll the outro music, stay on the line and we can chat for a few minutes in the green room. Thanks a lot, folks. We'll see you the next time. Bye now.
Thank you. Bye.